Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father,
and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The text for the day of Pentecost comes from our second reading of Acts. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors of Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. In the name of Jesus. Each in his own language, that's the thing here. That's what's important. It's almost as if the things that the apostles were saying, were prophesying, were specifically for the people hearing them. Imagine that. They could hear the words and understand them. They were spoken into their ears and they made sense. No language barriers. No conjugating verbs in their heads in order to understand the right context. It was all right there in front of them, in their own language, for them. It was probably true that most of these people from every known nation in the world could maybe get by with a common language, could make out well enough at the marketplace to get a loaf of bread and a basket of apples, but they still went home in the evenings, speaking their own language and hearing their friends and their family speak it back to them. But certainly no stranger would be speaking their own language to them with their own words. But now, inexplicably, these strange men are miraculously doing that very thing. They're speaking personal words to personal people, almost as if these personal words were personally spoken for them. The promise of the Holy Spirit has finally come upon the apostles. But let's be clear here. This isn't the same coming of the Holy Spirit that is common to all believers. This isn't the stuff that we talk about when we confess the third article of the Creed, the one about the Holy Spirit. The one when we say, I believe that I cannot believe, and that the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, sanctifies, and keeps me in the one true faith. This is something different. Not better, but different. But even though it's different, it is still connected to the third article stuff. A mighty rushing wind comes whipping through the apostles' house, tongues of fire alight, dancing their flaming dance upon 12 heads. And the Holy Spirit, he comes upon the apostles and he gives them utterance. He allows them to speak in tongues that they've never spoken before. But these tongues, they're not tongues of the celestial. They're not speaking the language of angels. For tell me, what good would that do? What good would a heavenly language do for earthly creatures? Not much good at all. It would just be a bunch of babbling. Nothing more than a noisy gong or the clanging cymbals of the demons. For the apostles, they actually have a job to do. They have a word to proclaim. And to proclaim a word is to make certain that that word is heard, and not just heard, but actually understood. If it's not understood, then what's the point? The apostles, they go out into the streets and they begin speaking words that are heard and words that are understood by everyone around them. People, good people from the surrounding nations are dwelling there in Jerusalem, each with his own language, each with his own tongue. And these people, they get to hear these Galileans speaking in language that they should not be able to speak in. Speaking words so that all around could hear and understand. But what are they speaking? And what's the purpose of it all? My guess is that the apostles are just as amazed at everyone else at what they're able to do. Now, yes, Jesus did promise that this would happen, but he didn't say exactly what this would be, or how it would look. He said that the helper would come and would be given to the apostles. But what sort of help was he going to bring? This amazing gift that is given, it's amazingly not for the apostles. And oddly enough, this is how almost all of God's gifts are when he gives them. He often gives gifts not for our own good, but for the good of those around us, for the good of our neighbors. We receive gifts from God
so that our neighbors can receive gifts of God through us. And on this day of Pentecost, the same exact thing can be said for the apostles. How do they go into the streets, the crowded ones in Jerusalem, speaking words for all people to hear? But these words have meaning and these words have purpose. They aren't given this gift so that they can talk about the weather with a proselyte from Egypt. And they aren't chatting with a Cretan about last night's baseball game. Their words are more important than that. Their words have deeper meaning than that, a deeper purpose than any of that. So what is Jesus concerned about? Well, what is Jesus always concerned about? He was always maddening to the people of his day because he was always concerned about godly things. He was always speaking about the Old Testament and the prophets, always running around. He was quoting Moses and Isaiah. Jesus was always concerned with making things so incredibly clear, even if his words sounded so incredibly unclear. And in the end, if you boil it all down and summarize it to one simple point, Jesus' words were always about Jesus. They were always about him. Always about him fulfilling what the men of old had prophesied. Jesus was always concerned with fulfilling the purpose that was set before him, that cross thing, that drawing all people to himself thing after he was lifted up, the resurrection from the dead thing 3 days later, the gospel thing of the forgiveness of sins and the crushing of Satan and the killing of death. Jesus was always and only concerned about those things. Is it any wonder then that when he sends his Holy Spirit upon the apostles, that they are only concerned about those things too? Into the ears of the Cretans, into the ears of the residents of Mesopotamia and Cappadocia, the apostles are telling or speaking in their own tongues the mighty works of God. But what are those mighty works of God? Are they speaking about creation? Are they speaking about the Old Testament miracles of the Red Sea dividing? Or the walls of Jericho tumbling down? Maybe. But they certainly aren't speaking of those things so that they can stand alone like a little bit of trivia that can be locked away so that you can impress your friends. If Jesus was concerned about himself, then the apostles were concerned about Jesus. And if Jesus gave the apostles the Holy Spirit so that they might speak to strangers in their language, then he gave them the gift so that they could speak to these strangers about Jesus. What works of God are mightier than the works of God done in and through Jesus? There's nothing mightier than that. Nothing of more importance than him. The apostles are fulfilling the words of the prophet Joel. They're sons of the Father, prophesying the mighty works of God. But to prophesy doesn't mean just to tell the future. It means to speak of Jesus. To prophesy means to speak of the things in the past in relation to Jesus, and the things in the future in relation to Jesus, but most importantly, the things right here in the present in relation to Jesus. Because Jesus isn't just a historical figure for you to merely learn about. He is for you. And he isn't just someone who has control of the future unless he has control and authority of that future for you. And Jesus isn't just some mystical being out there in the mystical ether. He is Jesus for you in the present, in the tangible, in touchy things, in wordy things. That's why the day of Pentecost is so amazing and it's so very important. The apostles spoke in the language of foreigners, not just so that there wouldn't be a language barrier that would have to be overcome, but they spoke the mighty works of God. They spoke the things of the cross and the things of the resurrection, the things of forgiveness and life eternal, the things of Jesus in the language of those foreigners, so that those foreigners in our text might know for certain that Jesus was and is for them. Imagine that. It's almost as if faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Thousands of years later,
we're sitting here on the day of Pentecost. But the day of Pentecost hasn't come and gone. I venture to say that the day of Pentecost has never left us. For what was the day of Pentecost other than the beginning of the time in which poor, miserable sinners could hear in their own language that the cross was for them, that the resurrection was for them, that the forgiveness of sins was for them, that life everlasting was for them, that Jesus was for them? Tell me, how is today any different? How is any Sunday any different than that first Pentecost? And no, I'm not going to start speaking in tongues here, and I'm not going to speak in different languages that I've never spoken of before, but I am, most importantly, going to speak in your language. The day of Pentecost is the day in which you get to hear in your very own language the mighty works of God. The day of Pentecost is the day in which you get to hear of Jesus for you. Listen with uncovered ears in your own language, almost as if these words that I'm about to speak are specifically and personally for you. Because they are. Jesus is for you. All of those sins that you carry around with you each and every single day, Jesus mightily took them to the weakness of the cross, nailed them to his hands and to his feet, made them his own. That death that you're so very scared of, the one that we had to face just a couple days ago at Ken Ranum's funeral, Jesus buried that death into the tomb, buried it deep and buried it dead, never to come out again. And all of those devilish words that you hear whispered into your ears that run constantly through your mind, those words that say that the gospel isn't true, that Jesus isn't, couldn't be for you, they've all come undone. They're all lies. They're all just false blatherings of a defeated demon who has no authority to speak them and has no power to actually make them real. Because the truth is, the only truth that matters is Jesus is for you. And how do you know that all of this is true? How do you know that thousands of years removed from the day of Pentecost, these words were still spoken for you? Because you get to hear them in your own language, personally and individually spoken into your ears. The same Holy Spirit who caused the miracle of Pentecost, enabling the apostles to speak in tongues, not their own, is the same Holy Spirit who works through these words to bring you to faith. Faith in Jesus for you. And if you need more than that, then you're given what you need. Baptismal waters, they are yours. Rivers of living water flowing over your heads, out of your bellies, just like Jesus says in our gospel text. And do you thirst? Even if it's only been a week, it's been too long, here is Jesus for you. He's there for you. Come and eat so that you hunger no more. Come and drink so that you thirst no more. Today is the day of Pentecost, and that means one thing and one thing only. The Holy Spirit is here to proclaim that Jesus is for you. In the name of Jesus.